Father God, I just pray that as we come into your presence, and God, you have been here with us, and you say that whenever your people gather in your name, or two or more gather, there you are. God, we believe and we know that your Holy Spirit is here. So God, would you take the rest of our time together as we worship you now by hearing your word? Would you open our hearts to it? Would you open our minds to it, God, in a way that your Holy Spirit can use the word that was written 2,000 years ago, that was penned down and was intended for every single one of us, even today. So God, would you just stir in our hearts using your word to convict and lead and teach and bring us closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name today. Amen.
Our theme for 2018 has been Uncharted, and we're starting a new series today. Called God Wisdom, and it's on Proverbs. Now, I want to say a couple things before we get started. If you have never read Proverbs, you need to do that. An easy way to do that is read a chapter a day. There are 31 chapters in 1 month. You could read through the whole book of Proverbs. This is the first year that I have not constantly been reading Psalms and Proverbs, and a lot of that is because I'm focusing on reading something else, reading through the New Testament. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Each week, the scripture for next week is in the bulletin. Now, the approach that we're going to take is the first several of these messages are going to be more verse by verse, going through the first few chapters. And then after that, we're going to be looking at some different topics that come out through the book of Proverbs. And so I'd like to encourage you, though, if you would please read Proverbs, I think that you would come out ahead. This morning we're going to talk about God, what's on your radar, and we're going to actually read the first seven verses of Proverbs chapter 1. So I trust you have a Bible or one of your pads, iPad, whatever. Read along with me if you would, please, and then we'll pray. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Would you pray with me, please, as we begin? Father, we ask that you would open your word up to us. Help us to come to you in surrender, as the song has said, to come to the altar. I pray that you'll help us to come in surrender to you. Help us to seek wisdom above everything else, because it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that. And so, Father, help us to begin today to just seek in our hearts a deeper walk with you, a more consistent walk with you. Pray that you'll open your word up to us this morning, that you will help us to grasp the purpose and the meaning of the book of Proverbs, and that you'll help us to just hunger for your word and hunger for your truth, so much so that we desire just to get into it and to grasp it even more. Thank you for the folks who are here today. And I pray that as we come, that we come with an open heart and a heart that's ready to hear what you have to say. And then, Lord, I pray that as I bring the message this morning, that you'll help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. In 1991, a series of books was started which has in some ways revolutionized how we learn. That book was called DOS for Dummies. Now, if you look on Amazon, as I did when I began this series, they will say there are over 20,000 books for dummies. I have to be in there somewhere throughout the series. But I'm not sure about the accuracy of that because some of the books didn't really fit that title. And I wasn't about to go through the whole list of 20,000 books to find out how many were not. But to me, there sounds like there's not a whole lot of smart people around. You know, for example, some of the titles, Opera for Dummies. Not going to fly with me. I'm not even going to look at that book. How about this one? Betting on Horses for Dummies. Potty Training for Dummies. Snort for Dummies. Now, that's not what you think. Snort is a security system, okay? There was one called A Bible for Dummies. How scary would it be for you if you went to pick your car up at a car repair shop and on their shelf, on their workbench, was a book that says Car Repair for Dummies? How would you feel? They even have a book called Sex for Dummies. The question that I have is, why this outrageous number of books? I mean, why in the world would they think we'd all be interested in this book for dummies? Well, I think there's a reason for that, and that is because people are searching for answers. They're looking for answers, and whether it be from a do-it-yourself type of generation that we are in some ways or whatever, we're looking for answers. Some of us need no outside help. A lot of us need a lot of outside help. And so we go for a book that says something for dummies. As a follower of Christ, there's something more important than a book for dummies. It's called wisdom. And as we go through this next 2.5 months, all the way to the end of September, we're going to go through this book on wisdom. And I want to simply ask a question and use it as you see it. In 2014, or for 20 years I should say, the Got Milk, remember that question, Got Milk, used all kinds of celebrities. But in 2014, they shut that down. That's no longer a part of their commercial. So I want to use a take on that and just call it Got Wisdom. Because that's the whole purpose behind the book of Proverbs. And so over the next almost 3 months, we're going to look at the book of Proverbs, and hopefully when we're done, we'll be a lot wiser than when we started. So let's first start talking about the pursuit of wisdom. Since 1955, and I don't know how they arrived at this, since 1955, they say that knowledge has doubled every 5 years. That must mean that we are off some awful smart people. The problem is, that's not what the world really needs, is it? We don't need more knowledge. We need more wisdom. There are four words that I want you to know as we go into this series that are going to kind of apply through the whole thing. And if you understand these four words, you'll understand the book of Proverbs in a great, great way. Number one. First word is the word knowledge. Now, knowledge refers to information or truth. You gain knowledge by study, by listening to other people, by investigation, by reading books, by listening to other people or other like radio stations, whatever. So you gain knowledge. The second word we need to see is the word wisdom. And the word wisdom is best defined as skill. The way I define it is knowledge is knowing. Wisdom is knowing what to do with what you know. Okay? So knowledge is being able, or wisdom is being able to take this practical knowledge that you're learning and say, okay, how can I apply that to my daily life? Okay? So there's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. The third word is insight. It's the ability to look beyond the obvious. For example, let's put it this way. Some translations of the Bible will call this understanding. This is the ability to see beyond what is there. Insight is to go deeper, to be able to grasp the truth that is there. The fourth word, and it really doesn't apply in a sense of you understand it, but the fourth word is the word proverb. And a proverb is a brief statement of wisdom. The thing about a proverb and about the Proverbs is it doesn't take you to church, but it takes you to work. It takes you to your job. It takes you home. It takes you into personal relationships. So as we read the book of Proverbs and study it, you're not going to see a whole lot of application to how do I act in church. Because you see, as a Christ follower, we were never intended to leave or to practice our faith within the four walls. We were always intended to practice our faith outside the four walls. And so that is that's what a proverb is for. It's to teach us how to take our faith from here and move on somewhere else. As a Christ follower, as I said, we were never meant to live our faith within the four walls. Every moment of every day, of every hour, of every life, our faith was to be meant to be lived outside this building. Proverbs is going to teach us how to do that. So let's go on to the bulk of this, and let's talk about pursuing wisdom. And you're going to say, why are we even studying the book of Proverbs? I mean, yeah, there's a lot of pithy sayings in there, you know, there's a lot of nice things in there. But why are we studying the book of Proverbs? I think there's two reasons why we need to study the book of Proverbs, two reasons why Proverbs are important. Number one, it's because it shows us deep character. Verses 3 and 4 of this, it says that we are to receive instruction. Well, in verse 2 it says to know wisdom instruction. That is the deep character that we're to develop. But verses 3 and 4 kind of amplify that. To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, which is fairness. To give prudence, which is the word shrewdness, to the simple. Knowledge and discretion to the youth. The second reason we should study it is because of straight thinking. Look what it says there at the end of verse 2. To understand words of insight. And so we study this passage. We study Proverbs to learn how to treat other people. Now, you can say, well, that does apply to the church. Yes, it does. But it also applies to outside the church. How are you supposed to react when someone gets your goat? How are you supposed to react when someone blows your doors off? How are you supposed to react when you try to do something nice and someone ignores you? And what the Proverbs is going to do is going to show us how to treat other people through all of this and give us what we hope to be wisdom. We are being taught to be wise. And wisdom applies both to God and to other people. And what the Proverbs does is it's good at contrasting the simple and the foolish versus the wise and discernment. Okay, here's the important thing I hope you'll remember. Wisdom is more than brains. Wisdom is more than words. You and I all know people who are smarter than all get out, but don't have a lick of common sense. They have all the knowledge in the world. They have these brains that blow up, you know. But ask them to do something simple, something more common sense, and they're going, they're kind of like out in another world. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't know how to apply that knowledge, that's called wisdom, then you're missing the boat. You are not born with wisdom. Don't you wish that when a little baby is born, he's immediately wise? But you're not born with wisdom. Wisdom is sometimes what we call the school of hard knocks. You learn some wisdom. You learn wisdom through study. You learn wisdom through going through tough times. But what we need to understand is that God is there to give us the strength and the discipline to deal with the situations that we come in. That's called wisdom. We can know all there is to know in this book, but if we don't know what to do with that, we're missing the boat. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. It's going to show us you can know, but what are you going to do with what you know? I hope that you will plan to be on the adventure, that you will want to understand how you can apply the knowledge that you have. We learn through our mistakes, folks. At least we should. That's wisdom. Verse 3 is our starting point. He tells us that we need to receive instruction in wise dealing. The word receive literally means to take in. James chapter 1 verse 21 says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul." One of the most famous paintings in the Christian world, and I'm sure that most of you have probably seen it, is a painting by Holman Hunt. It's a picture of Jesus knocking on the door. Have you seen that picture? Painting. The thing about that, and I'm sure most of you know this, but if you don't, I think it's important to understand. The picture shows Jesus knocking on the door, but there is no doorknob on the outside. There's a reason for that. Jesus will knock on the door, but he will not open the door. He will not force his way in. The entryway comes from inside. That's what it means to receive instruction. You are being given instruction through the Word. And whether it's through me or somebody else, you'll be receiving instruction. And so you open the door to say, "Father, I want to know what you have for me." You can shut the door. You can say, "Bill, you can't teach me anything. I'm older than you are." Not many of you are, but I'm older than you are. "I've heard it all. You can't teach me." Well, that's your response. He's still knocking. Verse 4 says that we are to give prudence, which is the word shrewdness. We are to, it's the ability to read someone and to know how to deal with a person. And not to be taken in. So where are we at so far? What is wisdom? Let me give you three things that I believe that wisdom is. Number one, it is the knowledge of good and evil. Now, please hear this because this is really important. Most of us know the black and white. Most of us know this is right, and this is wrong. Where do we get in trouble? In the gray area. What wisdom offers us is what is called discernment. And that's number two. It is discernment. And I found this quote, and I thought it was so good that I wrote it down in my journal. Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between the right and the almost right. You see, we can tell ourselves and we can rationalize and we can justify all we want on what is right and what is wrong. We can say, "Well, that, maybe not. You know, I can justify doing whatever I want to do. I can justify it." Discernment gives you the ability to tell the difference between not right and wrong, but in the gray area. Do I or don't I? We are to be wise in righteousness, he says, justice, and fairness. And then there's the third reason why we need to study wisdom or what we can learn. It's obtaining guidance. This is verses 5 and 6. "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise, and the riddles. You see, a wise man continues to learn. Hear this out. A wise man continues to learn. A fool says he's learned it all. A wise man continues to learn. A fool says, I've learned it all. So a wise man will say, teach me, teach me, teach me. A fool will say, you can't teach me, you can't teach me. A wise man will say, I want to hear more, I want to hear more, I want to hear more. A fool will say, shut the door, shut the ears, I don't want to hear any more. You've got nothing to say to me. So it's important that we learn what wisdom was. So how do we get wisdom? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Actually, the word should be wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you ask people, what's the key verse of Proverbs? They will probably go to chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. I didn't ask you for a favorite verse. I asked you for the key verse. The key verse of Proverbs is chapter 1, verse 7. And it's amplified by chapter 9, verse 10, as you can see on the screen. Go ahead and put it back up, Michael. 9, 10. The other way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. See, the greatest thing we can do is not get a bunch of knowledge, but learn wisdom. We can learn and we can learn and we can learn, but unless we learn how to apply what we learn, we're wasting our time. The idea of the fear of the Lord is used 18 times in the book of Proverbs. Now, let me explain something here. By fear of the Lord, that doesn't mean you're afraid of God. Okay? Don't get that idea. But fear of the Lord refers to awe and wonder and a majesty related to Him. I liken it to when a colorblind person begins to, or sees for the first time, sees color. Eric and Julianne, and I've asked permission for this, Eric and Julianne have a son, Jordy, who is colorblind. He's been colorblind all his life. But one day, they gave him a set of glasses. And they have made these glasses, and you can check it up on YouTube. There is example after example on YouTube of people who were given these glasses and they were overwhelmed by color. I was talking to her this morning. She said, Jordy doesn't wear the glasses all the time because it totally overwhelms him. It blows him away. And so that should be, please hear this, that should be our reaction when we have the fear of God. We should be totally blown away with the majesty and the awe of God. It should drive us to our knees in wonder and worship and in praise. That's what the fear of the Lord is. And Proverbs uses that 18 times. So there must be something really special about the fear of the Lord. But you see what verse 7 says? The fear of the Lord is the beginning. So if we want to learn wisdom, we have to start with awe of God. We have to start with the wisdom and the majesty and being overwhelmed by who God is. And when we do that, knowledge goes by the board, in the sense of that's not what we seek, but more than anything else, we seek the wisdom to know how to live our life in front of other people. Isaiah tells us, and if you'll go ahead to the next scripture, Michael, Isaiah chapter 11. Look at this. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight will be what? In the fear of the Lord. That simply means that when we are overwhelmed with the awe and the majesty and the wonder of God, it will drive us to our knees and we will be delight in the fear of God. Let me close with this illustration. I have never seen the movie, and so I am relying on someone else who has. It's a movie from 1938 called The Adventures of Robin Hood with Errol Flynn, who plays Robin Hood. And if you know the story of Robin Hood, it was his band of merry men in Sherwood Forest, and they were robbing Peter, you know, robbing the rich and paying the poor. Well, in this case, Richard the Lionhearted went off to the Crusades to fight, and he left Prince John in charge. Well, Prince John was a wicked man, and so he taxed the people, and all the tax money that came in, he kept it for himself. And so Robin Hood robbed from the rich, Prince John and his cohorts, and gave it back to the poor from whom it was taken originally. Well, then, of course, Prince John and the Sheriff of Nottingham spent their existence trying to wipe out Robin Hood and his band of merry men. After years of absence, King Richard the Lionhearted returned to England, but he was disguised as a common traveler. Robin Hood and his men captured King Richard and took him to Robin Hood. Or his men captured him, brought him to Robin Hood in Sherwood Forest. And King Richard asked Robin if he supported the king's crusade. And Robin said he did not support the king, since he had left England in the hands of wicked Prince John. And then Richard says, "So, are you loyal to King Richard?" And Robin Hood said, "I'd lay down my life for him." And assured that he was safe among these people, Richard the Lionhearted took his clothes off, revealed his armor, and immediately Robin Hood and his band of merry men realized that they were in the presence of King Richard. And they bowed down in silence before their king. Respect, reverence, and awe. That is what should happen when we come into the presence of an almighty God. That's why it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to learn, not just from me, but if you want to learn from the book of Proverbs, you start with the fear of the Lord. You start by kneeling before him and saying, "God, I want to know you. I want to get deeper in with you. I want to know wisdom. I want to know how to live my life before others so that you are honored and you are glorified and you are magnified." But it starts, folks, with what? Fear of the Lord. And so that's my challenge to you today, is that you will begin not just the series in Proverbs, but more importantly, begin your life by starting to say, "Father, I yield to you. I bow before you as my King, as my Lord, as my all in all." And when you do that, then you learn wisdom, because that's the beginning of it. Let's pray. And Father, I ask that you might speak to each one of us this morning. Help us to realize that we all are learners, but we all also need to not just learn, but we need to apply. And that's wisdom. And that wisdom comes from you. And that wisdom starts by fearing you, by reverencing you, by respecting you, by having awe in you. And Lord, help us to realize that as we do that, there's the delight that happens, that you delight, and that we can delight in serving you, and we can delight in this awe and reverence, that it's not a task, it's not a force to, it's not a have to, it's a want to. Please open this book up to us as we study, as we do it at home, as we read each chapter at home. Please open your word up to us and help us to get new insight, to know how to act beyond the knowledge, to be able to see how you want us to apply this in our daily situations. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Bring awe and reverence to us as we worship you, as we magnify you, as we bow before you as our King. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wayne is going to come up and share with our communion thought today.